Wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
Now, we have been trying to look at a very vital subject, which is titled Fulfilling Your Ministry. And we started with part one yesterday. We are up to part two today. And our anchor scripture is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. And that thou endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no one that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him that is enlisted him to be a soldier. And if any man strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strives lawfully. Another translation said, no athletic wins the prize, except he does it according to the rules. So there are rules. It's when you engage the rules that you emerge a ruler in your field. You emerge a leader by applying yourself to the rules of the game. So there are rules guiding ministry. And we looked at them as laws. And yesterday we tried to look at those fundamental laws that guarantee the fulfillment of your ministry. And I think we started with the law of total abandonment. The law of total abandonment. We have left all and we have followed thee. And they follow to the end. The law of total abandonment. The next we discussed was the law of absolute dependency. Absolute dependency on God. The law of absolute dependency on God. And the third one we discussed was the law of divine commandment. Operating as commanded puts you in command. Don't go outside what you are sent, or you begin to sink. When you operate as commanded, you will remain in command. And the law number four we looked at was the law of focus. The law of focus. And then we looked at the law of mentorship. So we discussed those five fundamental laws yesterday. And I believe the tapes are available for you. So try and collect those tapes and so you can, you know, look at them again and then make the most out of them. Hallelujah. So we continue in the exploration of these fundamental laws. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Now the next one we'll be discussing now, the law number six. Law number six is the law of learning. The law of learning. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17. Count them of double honor, those who are elders among you, particularly those who labor in word and in doctrine. It takes a studious life to secure a glorious ministry. It takes a studious life to secure a glorious ministry. It takes a studious life to secure a glorious ministry. If you are not studious, you are heading for shame. Paul the Apostle said, study to show yourself approved unto God as a workman that will not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A preacher who is not a reader will soon preach himself out. Oh, the depth both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his ways and his paths are past finding out. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. That's why I say study. Nobody ever comes to the end of his studious life. Study. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. As a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The greatest pastor on earth today, David Yonggi Cho of South Korea, in his testimony, he spent 75% of his time preparing his messages. 75% studying. Searching. 75% of his time. Why a lot of people keep chatting all over the world and walk dry to the platform. It's important for us to know it takes a studious life to secure a glorious ministry. Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest men that ever walked the planet Earth. He said, the cloak that I left with you in Troas, when you come, bring with me. Bring for me. He said, and the books, and especially my notes. So Paul was a student. He was a student of the world. He was a learner. So if you are not a learner, you never become a leader. Everyone who is taking the lead is a committed learner. If you can't see beyond what others have said, nobody will follow you. Nobody will follow you. He said, the cloak that I left with you at Troas, when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books. And especially my notes. And especially my notes. The Bible calls it parchment. Those were his notes. He was a learner. There are people who read the Bible for fun. There are those who read it to learn. If you are not a writer, you are not a learner. The lessons you learn are to be documented. If you want to enter into a realm of rest in your ministry, then you must labor in the Word of God. You must labor in the anointed books around you. You must invest your time and energy and resources in expanding your knowledge base. Now, this is very crucial. And I'm here talking to a large number of people from Africa. Someone has said, if you want to hide a thing from a black man, write it in a book. He will never read it. There are many graduates in this continent today that have never read one piece of literature since they graduated from school. So it became a common saying among the whites. If you want to keep a thing from a black man, write it in a book. He will never read it. He will never read it. And that's why you and I must enforce a change of that mentality. We must enforce a change of that mentality. Without a functional library, you cannot generate an extraordinary result. Without a functional library, you can't live an extraordinary life. Jesus was a perpetual learner. He said, he opened my ear morning by morning. He opened my ear to hear as they learned. He said, the Lord has opened my ears, and I was not disobedient. Chapter 50 of Isaiah, verse 4. Jesus said, I can of my own self do nothing. But as I hear, so I judge. And my judgment is true. So he was constantly learning at the feet of the Father. If you must become a great leader, then you better become an addicted learner. That's important. That's important. The man Daniel, even though endowed by God with wisdom, he was an addicted learner. He said, I, Daniel, understood by books. If you are not a friend of books, you can't go far. You can't go far. If you were in the morning session, in the faith tabernacle this morning, I was talking about what influences books have had on my life. For over 20 years now, what books have done in my life. And I still maintain a highly functional library. And I think it will be one of the largest private libraries in this land because of my appetite for knowledge. Because of my appetite for knowledge. I'd like you to please wake up. He said, don't be slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience obtain the promises. It takes hard work to become a high flyer. If you are not a hard worker, you never become a high flyer. You can't eat your cake and have it. You can't eat your cake and have it. You can't eat your cake and have it. There are too many lazy people on the pulpit today who are only having fun with religion and are not imparting any life. Because they are not willing to pay the price. The law of learning, the law of tireless learning, the law of addiction to knowledge. Paul had it, and every great man in ministry must have it. T.L. Osborne, at his old age, he turned his former swimming pool to his library. He lives in the midst of those materials. Everything about his life centers around that place. Kenneth Hagin, towards his end of time, there will always be a book on his table he was reading. If you are not a reader, you never become a leader. What you don't have, you cannot give. What you don't have, you cannot give. So sit up. There is no future for an idle man. No, not in the ministry. Can I hear your amen?
Amen.
Can I hear your amen?
Amen?
Let me hear your loud amen.
Amen.
Double honor is a product of double commitment to a studious life. The more committed you are to a studious life, the more glorious your ministry becomes. The more committed you are to a studious life, the more glorious your ministry becomes. Law number 7. I've called that the law of discipline. Say with me, the law of discipline. Paul the apostle said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. He also said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be brought under the power of any. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 23. A disciplined life places greater value on essentials. Others its priority intelligibly. Operates by schedule. Functions without requiring supervision. Makes the most of his time. It takes discipline to be distinguished. It takes discipline to be distinguished. If you leave your life to chance, you don't have a chance. If you leave your life to chance, you don't have a chance. If you leave your life to chance, you don't have a chance. If you are prayed by whatever comes your way, you don't get anything accomplished by the end of any day. Discipline runs a schedule that tells him what time is up, what he does between the first and the second hour, what he does between the third and the fourth hour. Runs a schedule that connotes a man on a mission. Somebody asked me sometimes, he said, how do you get time to read? And I answered him, how do you get time to eat? How can you schedule your eating time without scheduling your reading time? How can you schedule your eating time without scheduling your praying time? Discipline puts you on a lifestyle of schedules. You know what each day is supposed to deliver, and you work at it conscientiously. George Washington said, discipline is the soul of an army. It makes small numbers formidable. It procures success to the weak and esteem to all. Discipline is the soul of an army. It makes small numbers formidable. It procures success to the weak and confers esteem to all. So no matter where you are today, discipline can transform your destiny. The students who fail in school, not that they are poor, they fail because they are disorganized. They are disorderly. They don't have an orderly program. They do things as they happen. And nothing good happens that way. You never find a distinguished man who is not disciplined. The law of discipline. The law of discipline. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. I will remain committed to only what things are expedient. I will do only what things are expedient. 2 Corinthians 6:12. And 2 Corinthians 10:23, all things are love for me, but not all things are expedient. That is the law of discipline. That is the law of discipline. You must have noticed when you came in here that when a service is scheduled for 8 a.m. in the morning, at 8 on the dot, you find one of the pastors saying, stand to your feet, everybody lift up your hands and praise the name of the Lord. If a service is scheduled for 3 p.m., somebody's on the stage and say, praise the Lord, lift up your hands and worship the King. It takes order to command progress. It takes an orderly life to enjoy progress. Now we continue. Law number 7. Is it law number 6? 8. Okay. We are now number 8. We just finished number 7. Now let's go to law number 8. And that is the law of diligence. What do I call it? The law of diligence. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before me, men. Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business? He has a place on top. So to move from where you are to a higher plane, you have to take a flight of diligence. That simply translates as hard work. Hard work. Jesus said, I must work. John chapter 9 verse 4. I must walk the works of him that sent me. Why it is day, for the night cometh, when no man can walk. John chapter 5 verse 17. Jesus said, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. Paul the apostle said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. But I labored more abundantly than them all. I labored more abundantly than them all. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. I labored more abundantly than them all. You can't get out of life more than what you are willing to invest into it. I labored more abundantly than them all. I labored more abundantly than them all. The law of diligence is the only way to gain prominence in your field. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. He that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he that sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Don't just carry a title to accomplish your task. There is no entitlement in titles. Don't just carry a title. Strive to accomplish your mandate. Your mandate is more important than your title. Your mandate is more important than your title. Too many people are too relaxed to fulfill their ministry. Too relaxed. He said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. You know what Jesus said? He said, I've come to set fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to baptize you with. And now am I stretched until it's accomplished. Luke chapter 12 verse 49 and 50. If your ministry does not stretch you, it won't impact lives. It is the stretching of your mandate that impacts the people under your ministry. The law of diligence. The law of diligence. The law of diligence. Very, very important. Very, very important. And that simply means hard work. Every minister you see that moves about every day, greeting people all over the corner, they don't make much out of life. It's time to stretch yourself to deliver your mandate. It's time to stretch yourself to deliver your mandate. We had a popular thing in our ministry. Anytime anyone comes on board, no matter where he's coming from, he loses weight on the spot. We call it labor baptism. Baptism of labor. You know, there is no way to give birth as a woman without going through the labor room. You can't deliver your mandate without passing through the labor room of your ministry. You must pass through the labor room before you can deliver. Your mandate will remain as pregnancy except to go to the labor room. I must walk the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can walk. Paul said, I labor more than them all. And the effect is still here today. I said, the effect is still here today. The effect of his labor is still speaking today. May the effect of your labor be speaking in your generations after you. If Jesus tarries, may the effect of your labor be speaking in your generations to the fourth generation. John D. Rockefeller, he said, when work goes out of fashion, civilization with totter and fall. That is when work goes out of fashion. When people devise shortcuts to getting results outside work, advancement will cease. It takes work for things to keep working. Can I hear your loud amen? Can I hear your loud amen? Whatever team of people are responsible for this campus, now putting up the whole of these structures within 4 years is no ordinary work. It's hard work. It's hard work. The task force meets every night to evaluate the work of the day and project for tomorrow. Average of 2,500 labor force is on this campus that works every working day of the week, including Saturday, all these years to make it happen. How many are ready to work? You need that grace. Paul said, I labor more abundantly more than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. It takes grace to make the most of your time. It takes grace to work hard enough to obtain results. It takes grace. It takes grace. And I bless God, has given me a good measure of that grace. And I decree the transference of that same grace upon your life in the name of Jesus. Haven't you heard, in all labor there is profit? But the talk of the lips tends only to penury. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tends only to penury. He said, the hand of the diligent shall be a rule, but the slothful shall die under tribute. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24. The sluggard shall not sow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 4. If you are not a hard worker today, you are sure to become a beggar tomorrow. If you are not a hard worker today, you are sure to be a beggar tomorrow. One disease that God has not cured in my life is the disease of being busy. Everybody, even my enemies, know I'm very busy. Even the devil knows I'm very busy. And my being busy is not to be regretted. I'm seeing proofs every day. Receive that grace today. In the name of Jesus. Receive that grace today. In the name of Jesus. Receive that grace today. In the name of Jesus. Receive that grace today. In the name of Jesus. We have crossed the $1 million mark as wages per month in Africa. In all labor there is profit. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. But he that follows vain persons is void of understanding. Stay on your job, would you? 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 That makes it work. There is no president or governor in any place that I envy. Neither do I need a dime from any of them. The profit from my labor is more than enough to service the system and keep it running. I once told the president, I said, the first day I ask of your favor, let it be the last day you take my counsel. President of a nation, So I'm not advising you because I want to get something from you. The first day I ask you for a thing, let it be the last day you take my counsel. If you don't want to end up a beggar, please become a genuine worker. And whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. That shall be your portion. Amen. Can I hear your loudest amen?
Amen?
That shall be your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That shall be your portion in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now then, law number 9 is the law of spiritual impact. That is the source of your wages in ministry. The law of spiritual impact. That is the source of your income in the ministry. That is the source of your livelihood in the ministry. The law of spiritual impact. Romans 15 and verse 27. If we minister spiritual things to you, it is your duty to minister to us of your material things. So when you impart people spiritually, they respond to you materially. Can I hear the amen of someone here?
Amen.
Because thou shalt not muzzle the ox that threshes out the corn. The ox that is threshing the corn is entitled to the proceed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11, he said, if you are partakers of our spiritual things, is it a great thing, a great deed that we are partakers of your material blessings? This is it. The quality of your spiritual impact is what determines the material returns that attend to you. That attend to you. Now listen. A man read one of my books many years ago, Born to Win. And he was under a lot of stress in his business. He was weeping as he was reading that book. And he covenanted with God that, Lord, as I put the things in this book to work and they produce, so percentage of the first business that comes my way will go to the author of this book. He didn't know who the author was, except the name and the post office box. Say impact. Say with me, impact. So I came into the city where he was for a seminar. He saw the name on the banner. This must be the author of that book. So he walked to that seminar. He had no car. He trekked to that seminar. God visited with him. There was a turnaround. And one day I saw him. He came into Kaduna with a portfolio filled with money. And I said, what is it? Then he told his story. I read this book so time. It turned everything around in my life. And what I covenanted with God, with the author, is what I've brought. Now that is, he gave me the box and the money inside the box. Hallelujah. Spiritual impact. Now look at Jesus. In Luke chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. Jesus went about all through the towns and villages, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom. And then there was Mary Magdalene and another Mary and Susan, which ministered to him of their substance, because their lives were spiritually impacted. Mary Magdalene, out of whom 7 demons were driven out, they ministered to Jesus from their substance, not their leftover, their substance. So it takes spiritual impact to enjoy material comfort. It takes spiritual impact to enjoy material comfort. So if you must have your wages, the Bible said the laborer is worthy of his wages. Labor in the word, labor in prayer, impart the lives of men positively, and they will respond gladly. by investing to the ministry that God has given you, and by investing to your life. That's the way it works. The law of spiritual impact. Now, all biblical laws are universal. They deliver at the same rate in every nation. Don't say, oh, I wish I were living in that country. I wish I were in that city. It would be different. But I'm in a village. How will it happen? The law of spiritual impact. And it takes a spiritual man to impact people spiritually. A carnal man cannot impact people spiritually. Not every preacher is spiritual. Not every pastor is spiritual. Not every bishop is spiritual. Not every archbishop is spiritual. There are many carnal prelates, many carnal patriarchs. There are many carnal founders. It takes spiritual men to impact people spiritually. That's why the Bible says to be spiritually minded is life and peace, and to be carnally minded is death. You are either spiritual or carnal. You cannot be neutral. You are either spiritual or carnal. You cannot be neutral. You are either spiritual or carnal. You cannot be neutral. A pastor who is stealing church money, how spiritual is that? A pastor is planning how to break the church, how spiritual is that? A pastor is doing politics in the church, how spiritual is that? A pastor is doing tribalism in the church, how spiritual is that? A pastor that never prays nor read the Bible, how spiritual is that? Therefore, every minister is his worst enemy. There's nobody that's against you as much as you're against yourself. When you do what you should do, you see how weak the devil is. The law of spiritual impact. The law of spiritual impact. The Lord said to me, don't raise money, raise men. And you will have more money than you will ever require for ministry. Don't raise money, raise men. Don't raise money, raise men. And you will have more money than you ever need for ministry. Don't raise money, raise men. Today the vogue is about raising money. There are specialist money raisers that go from church to church. In the name of Jesus, 200 people here will give 100,000 naira each. Please stand to your feet now. If you want God to bless you, stand now. I mean stand now. That man, you stand. You stand. You. In 1987, the Lord said to me, don't raise money, raise men. And you will have more money than you will ever require for ministry. Don't raise money, raise men. The effect is here today. Our ministry is one of the most excited giving churches in the world. Nobody is coerced to give. Nobody is prophetically harassed to give. Everybody gives as they are blessed of the Lord with joy and gladness. Don't raise money, raise men. If your ministry is a man-raising ministry, you will never lack money. If your ministry is a man-raising ministry, you never lack resources. You never lack resources. You never lack resources. Don't raise money, raise men. And you will have more money than you ever require for ministry. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? I'd like you to please put these things to your heart. Before your eyes, the 100 people in your church will soon become 200. From 200, you see 400. From 400, you see 1,000. From 1,000, become 2,000. from 2,000 you will be there when it become 10,000. While you are still watching, you find it become 20,000. From 20,000 you see it become 50,000. The testimony of changed lives is the cheapest way to grow a church. The testimonies of changed life is the cheapest way to grow a church. Let me share this testimony with you. There was a landlord when we were in our old church. One of his tenants had a problem, and he couldn't pay his house rent. And this landlord happens to be a Muslim. He said, I see everybody that goes to this church coming out smiling every day. Now that you have this problem, go to that church. So the man came to the church. Jesus touched his life. And in 3 months, he was celebrating a birthday. He bought a car. So when the next tenant had a problem, he said, go to that church. The next tenant came to that church, had a transformation in his life. The Alaji said, I'm going to myself. So the Alaji also became a member of the church. Amen. He's still a strong member of this church today. Publicity does not grow a church. It is transformation that grows a church. Publicity does not grow a church. It is transformation that grows a church. Raise men. The law of spiritual impact. It is not possible to drag people from town to come to this place for church. You must have enough reason to come. You must have enough reason to come. You must have seen enough proof to convince you that it is not far. That it is not far. That it is not far. Because everybody that comes to this church travels to come. So when you are going to church, you tell your people, I'm traveling to church. Because you are really traveling. And then service holds at 7 a.m. in the morning. 7 a.m. in the morning. That means you must leave your house at 5 a.m. Buses move out of this campus at 4 a.m. in the morning. And people are on the line to file into the buses in their respective locations. There is no scientific strategy for growing a church. Amen. He said, whether I say sinner or not, I don't know. But once I was blind, but now I can see. Will you also be his disciples? Come now. That's why you must strive to impart the people spiritually. You must strive to impart people spiritually. And as changes occur in their life, you find members of their family coming in. You find their friends at work coming in. You find their colleagues at work coming in. And then the church is filling up. You heard that testimony today of a woman, 87-year-old, a Muslim. He said, we worship your God. Something had happened to that man. The mother saw it. He said, though we are never Christians in our family, but I will follow you to worship your God. Now he's a solid member of the church. Testimony of changed lives. That will be your experience as you go back. Yeah. I told a pastor today. He said our church is not on TV. We are not on radio. And we are growing. And I smiled. I said the growth of the church is affected by members of the church whose lives have been touched. So they tell all others, come and see. Come and see. You know, we used to be sick together. We were in the sickness association before. I am no longer there. Come and see. We were all on the floor before. But you see, he has taken me up. Come and see. So it is the testimony of changed lives that grows a church. Not television advertisement. Not newspaper advert. Not radio advert. There are too many on the street. So go every morning when you are going to minister to the people with a heart willing to impart. You see how the church will be growing. Can I hear your loud amen?
Amen.
Can I hear your loudest amen?
Amen?
The law of sowing and reaping. Law number 10. We are stopping there this afternoon. The law of sowing and reaping. Ministry prosperity is different from the pastor's prosperity. What the pastor sows, he reaps like any member of the church. It is what the ministry sows that determines what falls on the ministry. The subject of sowing and reaping relating to ministry has not been taught. Many ministries are not involved in seed sowing at all. And that's why many ministries are financially strangulated. Many ministries are under financial pressures because they have not discovered the mystery of ministry seed sowing. September 4, 1987, I was at Sheraton Hotel here in Lagos, and I was studying my Bible in the book of Hebrews, and I stumbled on a mystery in chapter 7, and I heard the Lord say to me, without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And I said, what does that mean? He said, let the ministry begin to sow seed into higher ministries. And as they sow into higher ministries, they'll be moving higher in their pursuit. He said, begin to sow to higher ministries and see what I'll be doing in blessing the ministry. There are things you do because you consider them convenient. There are things you do because you see them as commandment. We were sowing seed before. But I came to discover that we need to have an established approach to our seed sowing. We are not sowing to ministries in need. We are sowing to higher ministries because without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. The less is blessed of the better. The less is blessed of the better. One of my sons in the ministry came here sometimes. He said, can you please tell us the secret of the financial success, the financial abundance of this ministry? I said, I hope it will not offend you. I hope you will like it. Then I said, does your ministry pay tithe? My Bible and your Bible says, all the tithes of the land is the Lord's. He shall be holy unto the Lord. You shall not take an ought of it. My Bible says, bring ye all the tithes on the storehouse and prove me now herewith, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Believe me, what our ministry experiences today is the reality of the windows of heaven for blessings. This ministry enjoys practically today an open heaven dimension of prosperity. There is no traceable pressure anywhere. I knew where we were when he gave this commandment, and I know where we are today. Where we were when he gave this commandment, we were not worth what we would spend in one location per day today. The higher ministries don't need your seed. You are the ones who need their grace. The higher ministries don't need your seed. You are the one who require the grace upon them to fall upon you. Won't you be glad to know that seeds and dollars move from Nigeria to America today in obedience to the law of sowing and reaping? Going around preaching to collect offering won't build your ministry. Without an open heaven, your ministry will remain under financial struggles. It is better started where you are now than thinking of starting later on when you increase. That is the only way to increase at all. I know how many ministries we were when we all started. And I know those who are still believing God for rent payment today. And see how God has built himself a city here. See how God has built himself a city here. By next year, there is a 260 housing unit that's coming up here. Everything debt free. Everything begging free. Everything a proof of an open heaven. How many want to experience an open heaven here? Do you really want to experience an open heaven?
Yes.
Sowing into higher ministries takes you higher. Sowing into higher ministry opens financial fortunes to your life. Sowing into higher ministry opens you to a new dimension of financial life. Tithing the resources of your ministry opens the heaven over it. And you can't be living under an open heaven without people around you knowing. I decree that every financial struggle in your life and ministry comes to an end today.
Yeah.
There are pastors who don't pay tithe. That's why they need members of their church for survival. The law of tithing is not only for members of your church, it's for everybody. There are pastors who raise offering in the church with an empty hand up. Don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that also shall he reap. An empty hand will reap an empty returns. If you are not a giver, you are not permitted to prosper. If you are not a giver, you are not permitted to prosper. My prayer is that no one here will remain a beggar. My prayer here is that no one here will remain a beggar. May I say this then in closing? If this ministry has gotten to this level today, without a dime from America, without a penny from United Kingdom, without 1 yen from Japan, there is nothing God has told you about your ministry in your country, in your city, where he has deployed you, that he cannot accomplish right there. All you need is obey these spiritual laws and you'll be in command. Obey these spiritual laws and you'll be in command. Obey these spiritual laws. The truth is that without money, you cannot fulfill your ministry. And without an open heaven, there will never be enough money to fulfill your ministry. Without an open heaven, there will never be enough money to fill your ministry. Jesus needed a bag of money carrier to fill his ministry. As anointed as he was, money was crucial to the accomplishment of his mission. So you and I need money. And that is the way to get it. You are a giver as a minister. Your ministry is a giving ministry. You are a tither as a minister. And your ministry is a tithing ministry. The heavens will remain open. And everything will start working. Now let me tell you this. I don't have the slightest financial stress on my life. Why? The reality of an open heaven. Prove me now. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing until there be not enough room to contain them. Now we have dealt with 10 laws to date. We conclude everything tomorrow. Jesus is law. How many have been fed here today? How many have been touched by God today? How many believe in a transformed ministry from henceforth? So shall it be. Now receive grace to apply these things to your life. Come on now, lift up your hands and receive grace to apply these treasures to your life. In Jesus' precious name.
Bishop David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, 21688 Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Or call 817-9670, 817-9671, 817-9672, 817-9673, and 817-9674. Or send your testimony through the email bishop@winnerskinandland.org. And best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle, Kinanland, Kilometer 10, Idiroko Road, Ota. On Wednesday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. On Sundays, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. God bless you.